First of all, you guys are awesome. Thank you. Thank you for, it's a Sunday morning. You've committed to this. You find nourishment here. And we just say, you know, thank you for just saying yes to this and yes to this commitment. And realizing that together, we really need to do this together. We really, you know, Mark is ahead of most of us when it comes to understanding maturity and et cetera. But he needs us. He needs us to come along and listen and bring input. And so with where, you know, where Steve is, he's preparing to preach right now, but he is excited for you to be here. And it's just pretty cool. I think we all have individual stories as to how we showed up. It's almost every time that I talk to somebody, it's just kind of one of those stories of, I don't know, I just came. And in our story, we've been here 6 years. I'm Kurt Beasley. I have a family. We were all in for a long time wherever we were, and it was awesome. And I woke up one Sunday and did it, and I led a class. And as soon as the class was over, the Lord said, "That'll be your last Sunday." And after 20 years, that'll kind of change things. You're not 20 yet, so you don't have to worry about that. Some of you guys are like 90, so you understand what I'm saying. 20 years, I wake up, boom, the class is over. I tell Teresa, I think this is our last day. That's not good, right? I mean, that's not good when you're happy and you're like in and you're all in and you know everybody, your community. And I had no idea. And that was it. And we told everybody and had some meetings and blah, 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 and we were gone. And so it became Saturday. I'd never looked. We don't look. We're in. And my daughter called me from Chicago and said, "What's up with this? What happened?" I said, "Lord, I don't know." And she said, "Where are you going tomorrow?" I don't know. I don't know. "Have you thought about going out to Grace Chapel?" Where is that? And I only live like 6 miles from here. Came in, walked in, sat on the back row. Second from the back row to the right, Steve started preaching. Teresa and I looked at each other and said, "God cannot be this good to us. He cannot. He can't. There's no way that he would let us make a decision and we do it and then give us this." So I'm just telling you, I'm fired up. Okay, good. Amen. Anybody to that? Amen. All right, here's what we're going to do. Laura, would you just kind of watch me a little bit? I'm going to go. You know I can't go through this. We know that. And this is amazing. The way we have distilled this subject down, I know you guys have been chewing on this. Go back and eat some more. You know, I know most of you know all this, but Lord, we need to dive in like Mark said and let the Holy Spirit show us some new things. We're gonna look at this. I need a little extra time because Mark is going to kind of finish us up. So if you can just go, Kurt, you've had it. You know, your history. Okay, let's go to the top. You're on what? I hope that's where I'm at.
You're fine.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, we have three kind of big headings under God's voice and God's word. And the first one is, if you'll look at your sheet, and we're going to fill these blanks in, but we're going to hit it. But actually, we're going to dive back out. But it says, the first one is, God is what? Still speaking. God is still speaking. So let's make sure we get that this morning. He is still speaking. The verse under that from Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. He says, God is still speaking. He hasn't stopped. He may this morning when you woke up, you may have said, he doesn't even exist anymore in my life. I haven't heard from him in 30 days. Let's really appropriate today without a doubt. God is still speaking. Number one, I want to hit these. In this section, I want to hit it right quick. The good news is that God does speak. So let's fill that in. This is the great distinction of Christian faith, the singular experience of every believer, the undeniable teaching of Scripture, and then the specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that under your bullet points? Mm-hmm. The good news is that God does speak. And then this bullet point that Mark touched on says, the specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. What is he saying there? If you've got your Bible, and we will only do this for a minute. I want to show you something in Romans 8. And if you don't, just listen and I'll get this. Under the caption or the thought of God speaks, and this is the specific ministry of the Holy Spirit, in Romans 8, 14 and 16, it tells us something. Listen to what happens in Romans 8, 14, 16. It says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, what? Abba. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen to that? Amen. So he's still speaking. And like Mark said perfectly, you know, one of the attributes or a part of the Holy Spirit is to talk to us. And we hear in Romans 8 that if we're of the Spirit, that means we're children of God. So we should never have another identity crisis in the rest of our life, should we? You know, we should wake up in the morning, hang on to this truth, and say, wait. The Spirit of God is living inside of me. And he says we cry out. We don't cry out, you know, oh, holy, you know, untouchable God. We cry out, Daddy, Daddy. If we get a little bit of that, do you think that would change Monday morning for us? Oh, man. What if you wake up and just say, instead of saying, oh, me, oh, my, oh, bills, oh, work, oh, school, what if you just went, wow, Daddy, thank you, Lord. Acts 10, now this is a specific reference, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, that way. Why do I have to go through every single time? Acts 10, I want you to really see this. If I'm not making any sense, just throw something. Tell him and he'll just hit me. You're like the in charge. And
Fair enough.
Acts 10, verse 17 through 21. Acts 10, 17 through 21. And we're picking up in the middle of the story, but I want to catch a couple words, and then we're going to buzz through this. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, what was Peter doing? What was that word? Wondering. So just get this. It's Monday morning. He's had a vision. And what is he doing? He's wondering. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was, and they stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Don't worry about the facts. Just listen to Peter. Verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, he was wondering about these men, he was still thinking, look what happens. This is just killer right here. That's good, I think. That's a good word. The Spirit said to him, while he's wondering, does anybody in here ever kind of wonder about stuff? 99.9% of the time. And a lot of times I go, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm doing a lot of thinking. I'm wondering what you're going to do. Where's my son today? Is my daughter in New York? And I go, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's oftentimes saying, no, come on. It's okay. Begin to wonder. Think. Peter's wondering and he's thinking. And while he's still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down. He said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? This really jumps out at me because of you've got a normal Peter on a normal Monday. And he's doing his thing. And he's not sitting there saying, we know, where are you, Lord? And who are these guys? He's got the living God living inside of him. And he's just wondering and thinking. And there's an issue in his life and these three men. And what does this mean? And the Spirit of the God says, let me show you. Does that give you comfort? Two of us? Let's come out of this class going that, knowing that God still speaks. He speaks your language. And he speaks when you just give him a little. God's still speaking. Okay, number two. Jesus affirmed that the reality of God speaks. Number three. Let's stop at number three. Speaking is a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what we just said. Speaking is a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit, which means to me, Kurt, today, it tells me I don't have to conjure up God. All right, God, you know, let's all hum together. You know, God, no, that's what he does. That's his job. I go to my law office. I do my thing. I start talking to people. I'm probing, wondering about their life. I don't know what to say. On Thursday, I was with some folks. We're just in control. Just in control. I mean, they were locked down in front of me. And just they had it together, and they were telling me what they wanted. And I was saying the whole time, Lord, I'm wondering. I'm thinking, what's going on with them? There's something else. Show me. And and dialogue kept going. It was okay. Show me. Show me. And he showed me. And the words came out, and we hit the vein. And I just said, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Not my job. I'm wondering and thinking. And this person opened up, and it'll never be the same. Yeah. It's always there for us. Mm-hmm. And he opens Mark up in the morning, and he opens me up late at night, and he opens me up in a different language than he does you. But he's always probing. He wants what's best for us. He wants to teach us in the way. So it's a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you and bring you to remembrance. You can see he will bear witness of me. I will send him to you, amen to that, and he will guide you in all truth and declare to you things to come. Man, I love this. Number four, God wants to speak to us today. Number five, and if you guys feel something, jump in, please, and stop and say, I don't agree, or hallelujah, amen, and or rock on or something. Number five, rock on. There you go. Rock on. We have one rock on. That tells a lot about Grace Chapel. Hallelujah or rock on.
Right,
rock
right.
on. God speaks in different, listen to this, God speaks in different general ways. So if you come in here and say, hey, man, Kurt, it's this, and I go, man, I never get that. He doesn't speak to me in flowers, or you know, he speaks to me in weird, irreverent ways, mm-hmm. primarily through people that just drive me crazy. Yeah, you know, there's a man in my life who knows everything. It's not Mark. I mean, he knows everything, and he lets me know everything that he knows. And I was leading a little thing last Friday. It started snowing. And I had just complained to him, to the Lord. We come in, there's about 30 guys. He is like, ah! And he walks in, I was like, oh, God. It's snowing outside. I want it to be a good day. I don't want to see him. He doesn't like me, so it's normal. He acts up a little in the thing. That's all right, Lord. You know, cast him to hell. I just don't. It starts snowing. I'm in my car. I'm sitting in my car. I'm about to go to my office. I'm trying to decide, do I go to the office? Can I get there? You know, it's slick. And I have a normal car, and all of a sudden, the snow is disappearing from my back window. And I thought, do I have a wiper? No, that's how dumb. I'm not a real car guy. And I thought, did I hit the wiper? Well, no, I don't have a wiper. I've got a car. And I look back, and there's a hand on the side. I'm sitting there. The defroster is going. And I'm going, wow, I mean, angel? I don't, you know. And the snow is disappearing. I can't see. You remember last Friday morning at about 6:30, that angel comes around. You know who it was.
It was.
Aww. He literally walks. I opened the door and went, let's call him Ralph. Let's call him John because that's his name. John, thanks. And he just looks back and says, yeah. I went, Lord, you are speaking loud and clear. There's nothing you could have said to me. He could have given me $1 million and it wouldn't have hit me like that. And I confessed. That's what we're talking about, right? I know y'all never go through that, and you love everyone, and everything's, you know. Okay, let's jump. Well, number six, God speaks in specific ways. There's a whole lot of cool things. You see those lists of how he speaks. Some of you guys might say there's no way that God would ever speak in a trance. That's weird. Well, then, you know, just deal with it. You can still go here if you don't believe that. He spoke to me by moving snow off the back of my car. I think that's more bizarre than a trance. So, okay, the big caption number two on the next page. Get this. God's word is the standard. Thank you, Lord. I try to be the standard a lot, and you can see what I end up doing. I blow it. No, wait. God's word is the standard. Number one, God's word is the divine expression of God. Number two, next page. God's word upholds all things. Upholds. Number three, God's word is profitable for knowing the Father. I don't know how we do it without the word. I don't know how we get it without reading these stories of Mary and Peter and how they're messing up and all the great analogies that Mark just gave us. How do we even know? Number four, the Word of God is truth. Number five, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's alive. The Word of God is alive. Who can remember? Have you ever read the Scripture one time, and then 3 days later, 3 months later, 3 years later, went back and read that Scripture and went, "Wow, I didn't know it said that." Has that ever happened to anyone here? Mm-hmm. That's daily with me. I don't even know why I read and try to memorize anything, because as soon as I read it again, it's like it's a completely different. It's alive. Look at the verse under there. We're gonna dive into this for just a second under number five. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is that saying? That's a little mumbo jumbo to me. What do you think? What's that just say to you?
He gets through if he wants to.
What did Jesus say?
Everything. Anyway, anyhow, any way he wants to do it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
Kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. If you don't believe, you don't see it, right? Because how many people say, well, I read the Bible, and it's just like, and I'll go, yeah, I get it. But man, when the Holy Spirit moves, and I read, and I say, Lord, please divide me. Please divide me. You know, divide my joints and my marrow. Everything that I think, you know, I'm criticizing this man, and I'm teaching this Bible study, for heaven's sake. I sit in my car, and he nails me just like that. That's the kind of life I want, because I don't have it. I can't get it. He says, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do we know our heart all the time? And we've got a whole world walking around today saying, I know who I am. I'm going to do this in my job. I'm going to get this divorce because it's good for me. Or I'm going to New York City today to get And in Jeremiah 17, this verse is still applicable to us. It's changed, but it says, if you remember in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Now, we're redeemed, and our heart is just being molded in his image. But I still got a lot of chiseling to do. In the chiseling of my heart that's still curt, it's deceitful. I want what I want. But he says, I'm going to give you the word that's alive, that if you'll read it and dwell on it and let the Holy Spirit move, I'll cut you up, Kurt. I'll slice you up. The things that you think, I love that. All right, number six, we're gonna get going for sure. God's word stands forever. Number seven, God's word causes us to be born again. Number nine, God's word causes us to grow. I'm sorry, that's number eight. Number nine, God's word is inerrant. I think that's important.
Can you spell that for me?
Yeah, I can't even say it. It's I-N-E-R-R-A-N-T.
What's that mean, Kurt?
It's a lot of Greek words under my notes. We can believe it, right? That's what it means. Number 10.
Brother, what do we say there in the original manuscripts? Would be more what we want here.
What did you just say? Let me explain it, Derek.
We want to have to look at it's inerrant in the original manuscripts.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You guys understand what he's saying by that?
No.
All right. So all the original manuscripts that were brought together and agreed upon, this is the counsel of God, this is the word of God, were not written in English. Okay? And so they're translated or transliterated or translated by thought, or words that are in the Greek that don't have an English component, and we try to do a word for word that doesn't necessarily totally match up, and so we get kind of clunky sometimes. The truth of God will not be hidden from you in reading your English Bible. The fullness of some things will be revealed to you if you go back and study the original, what the word meant, how it was used in that language. Greek is such a structure that where the word lands in the sentence changes what it's meant to mean. And so getting some further understanding is like coloring in some detail, but you're not going to miss the main things in your English Bible. But you can get some cool detail by going back and studying the original manuscripts, and those are the things that are without error.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's pretty heady, but okay, number 11. God's word is attested to be God's word, so it's been proven. A-T-T-E-S-T-E-D, attested.
What was 10? I'm sorry. God's word is
reliable.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
God's word is reliable, R-E-L-I-A-B-L-E.
Sorry, I'm not the best.
No, you're fine.
No. Number 11, attested. All right, we get to the final section. This is the final piece to this that we've got to get. If we don't get this, it really doesn't matter. Receive God's word. Receive God's word. Receive. So if we don't receive Christ, what difference does it make, right? He's come, he's died for us, he's saved us, we have salvation, we have this word, we have the Holy Spirit. But if we don't receive this gift, it doesn't matter, does it? It's worse. So we have to receive. So I think today, however you're going to do that, why don't you say today, Lord, I receive this teaching. You know, I don't know what a test means, and I don't know what Greek means, and there's a lot about what we've already covered that I don't know about. And I couldn't explain it if I had... I receive it, Lord. I receive it. I'm going to trust you. So number one, God will communicate with anyone who will give attention to His voice. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Number two, position yourself to hear God's word. Position yourself to hear God's word. And look at what He's saying. The verse is from Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So what He's saying is, receive, but get in a position. And, you know, maybe I was in the position in my car to receive, kind of not. He just kind of hit me in the head. But get in the position. And He doesn't mean sit behind the, you know, the wheel or, you know, get in a chair. He means get my heart to where I'm ready to receive. You know, that's a big verse. Blessed are the pure in heart. As soon as you heard that, half of us wanted to just leave. You know, forget it. I can't. I mean, come on. I know my heart. It's wicked half the time. I'm on my way out. Forget it, Kurt. It won't. No. Pure is just clean and unclean. Lord, today, what I have, me, just clean me up. That's. Would that be a decent translation of pure? It doesn't mean perfect, right? You know, blessed is the guy who, you know, who's clean, confessed. Start all again. You know, yesterday was bad. I'm starting again this morning, Lord. Clean me up. Boom. I'm putting myself in the position to be directed by Him. Okay, here we go. Almost finished with our number three. Next page. Nope, we are finished. Sorry. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hope that was helpful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I thought it was great.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. What we want to do now is get into our groups, and we'll do something a little bit different this time.
Oh, were you not finished?
We're not
all right, I'm going to ask a couple questions. How many of you guys would say, yes, I've heard God's voice, and I don't necessarily just mean audibly? How many of you guys would say? Okay. I can tell you, and I would stand my ground in the face of anyone on this planet, three times that God has relayed something specific to me. And one of them was the moment that I met Him for salvation. Another one was He literally broke me out of jail so that I could go to this men's retreat and had this encounter with Him where He affirmed His love for me for about an hour out in the middle of the woods, and I just was crushed by it. It was awesome. And I told Him, I'm not getting married until you tell me who my wife is, because I'm an idiot. And I will totally make a bet. Like, you tell me. And, you know, and so those three things I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt. You know. But those three things that I can tell you with that level of absolute positive assertion are three massive things that I needed. Three kind of moments of crisis, if you would. And then there's the rest of the time, and I mean, I've been saved since I was 19. I've got, you know, 23 years, and in that 23 years, I can only tell you there's three things that I would literally stand in the face of anyone and tell them this is what God said. The rest of the time, I feel God's favor when I'm speaking something. I'm working with somebody, and I'm saying, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? And He'll pop up a verse or a concept or an idea, and I'll put that out there, and feeling God's favor in the middle of that. So you guys hear about the kid next door, that's our special needs group, and we've got kids that we work with that act out and speak out and all that stuff, so that's what's happening next door, and I love it. It's awesome. It's a great sound. Most of the time, I tell you, it's a feeling for me. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a tuning fork that's resonating in me when I'm feeling God's favor in speaking or moving or doing a thing. Now, could I be wrong in that? Yeah. Is it matching up with the Word? And that's what this was saying. If you go back to the Word and what you're saying doesn't line up with that, you're out of line. The Word prevails, not your feeling. And yet it says that the deep cries out to deep, that God does give us those feelings, that God does when you're contemplating, like Peter's thinking about and contemplating mm-hmm. the vision and doing those things, that God brings those things up and highlights that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back to the elephant, you may have heard God's voice speak in these different ways and not in these other ways. I know people that say that they've never heard the voice of God, and then you guys heard us talk about Chris and Shirley, the gal that had the, or Shelley.
Shelley.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, Chris said in the room with his wife there and his brother praying, just crying out to God, because here's his wife who's had a brain aneurysm and is on death's bed, that he's crying out going, God, what in the God? And he audibly heard, Chris, I'm here. And he was like, looks around, and there's nobody there. He's thinking a nurse just said it, and he thinks about that for a minute, and he looks over to his brother, and he goes, did you hear that? He said, you mean that the person that said, Chris, I'm here? He said the words. Chris didn't submit the words and then have him affirm them. He said the same words, and then went out in the hallway, and they were like, hey, did you say something, poke your head in here? Nope. And in that moment, like, he needed, right? He needed to hear God's audible voice.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to do this with a little bit of my tongue in my cheek, but not a lot. I'll take a pass on hearing God's voice if it requires that level of challenge.
Right.
Right? So just realize there's some scales, and God, I totally want to hear your voice. Well, you might be brought to that moment of crisis or that moment of challenge before he's going to speak with that level of clarity for you. So.
All right. Well, one thing that Myron mentioned this morning, when we get in our groups, you know, we talked before about, you know, there's three basic kind of questions that are a good format to always go through, you know, head, heart, and hands, which is, you know, intellectually, what did I hear today? And then emotionally, how was I touched by that or challenged? And then the hands part of it, what am I going to actually put into action with what I heard and felt challenged about today? But in addition to that, Myron suggested that each group kind of come up with a question for Mark and Kurt. You know, to give you some time. You know, sometimes you say, well, does anybody have any questions? And everybody's kind of put on the spot a little bit. So as you're discussing, you may formulate a question that, you know, maybe you got a spokesperson from each group that wants to, well, this is the question that we had for you. So we'd like to try that today. We're going to take about 15 minutes, so it's a quarter till 10. So right at 10 o'clock, what's that? Maybe 20 minutes. Yeah, I think we're doing good. So get in groups of 3 and 4. Try not to go more than that because it really inhibits, you know, the ability to have everybody participate. And then also try to split up. You know, don't be with a spouse or a friend or, you know, because you know pretty much what they think already. So. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Eli, why don't we just do it?
Okay.
Kurt,
yeah.
Sure. I got it. We have to ask you a question.
Yeah, but I got stuff around.
Come on.
I want you to bring your chair somewhere
else. You're going to put yourself above us.
I don't.
You still chair?
Oh, yeah.
Speak down to us. That's it.
Yeah, like that.
Right. What's up?
What got you sent for this class?
So I want to go on a mission trip to Haiti. But my mom said that I had to take that class, you know, all the way through before I
could get all the extra stuff I had.
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
That'll be your first trip in the third world country? I've got to come out of here.
And so, to the extent that you're practicing that, here you might be better off there. And you're not going to do the work of God, understanding that God wants to be praying in our physical body. You guys know the term Gnostic? So, Gnostic was a cult of post-century church. And it was a group of people that believed that everything that was physical was evil. Everything that was spiritual was pure. And so they asserted Jesus trying to come to physics that he just walked around through. And therefore, everything is possible and evil, and so they think they sort of corrupt the gospel. It might be that it looks when I read counter to say, no, Jesus did come to touch, he touched him, he felt him, he had him in our own hands. So all those phrases are in there because they're saying, as I love God's jiu-jitsu move, hey, go ahead and bring that challenge. I'm just going to put the word and lock it down. And he counters what we bring in. That's not what it's talking about. The flesh is referring to our sinful human fallen nature. It's not the only thing that's typical. I know in the physical body it's been a new creation. And you couple the worshiping God with our body, sometimes falsely based on this, you get this philosophy that you crept in on us. Or we get more uncomfortable with what other people might think or how we might be looked at or whatever. So I just resolved at some point to go, there's a song that's saying, I'm going to really use the Lord.
And that's what I got to
do. I mean, I'm going to sing a song about that. You know, it's not me, it's you, where I am. And talk about sometimes giving sacrifice. Sacrifice requires me to give something that has to be costing something. And so sometimes I feel that sacrifice. I don't feel that Wednesday. I'm pretty bummed or upset, or I don't like the way God plays something out. I mean, some other person that's in my scene is not clicking with me. David's wife got in some pretty serious trouble and was buried for the rest of her life because she mocked David in the way that he was worshiping God. He played the fool, you're out there running around in your underwear, praising God and dancing like an idiot. He had a problem with him, the way he worshiped God. Way more than that. A couple of them were, and then a couple of them were, well, they spoke in tongues and then they gave their and it had nothing to do with where
So let's parse the reformed guys. I don't know what you guys know about that all. We're talking about it.
I bet they would have continued to look at the part of that.
I can get on that as well. I'm not a dog in the fight.
Okay, that's God's gift.
See, it's so precious to me that we didn't try to have a response to the pre-grace
Sunday.
And that's why I'm saying, that's something that's really big.
My parents thought it was
Zane Hodgins.
I was just happy. I was present.
Zane was a professor in Greek. One of the biggest guys. Him and Charles Farley. Charles Farley. And I was also a guy. After Charles Bing.
I just took all of my shoulders.
Some of the guys. I was a coach. I had to come to that position. It was a position. That's where you're at.
Yeah.
So
that's where he's challenging me.
But what about Pastor Burke?
I can't do it all.
I think you have to ask.
And there's a lot to do.
You know,
The story of like this is going to the Vegas, you know, it's like a storyline of this happened, this crazy thing happened, and this thing unfolds, and it's like a novel. But I wonder if someone would have injury. He has injury. He like problem solving. That would be a problem solving. I want you to read through it about the character. What is this woman's relationship coming from? What's he hearing about?
Thank you.
really enjoy you guys'
Yeah, we try to get all the different towns.
You and I have a lot of things in common.
Yeah.
How we grew up in churches.